You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
I'm Tristan Taramino, and this is Sex Out Loud.
That's why I'm literally writing a whole book about my gender.
My mom and I were on BBC together talking about sex work and disability, which is something I never thought I would ever do.
Where do we learn about how to react to bodily fluids?
Kink and leather have the DNA that can transform not just ourselves, but this culture.
People have abortions more than we want to admit, and abortion is beyond healthcare. It's really body autonomy.
Someone talks about porn ruining sex. The question for me is, which porn?
I don't want anybody to fetishize my Jewish who wouldn't stand next to me at a march.
I just wanted to show polyamory in a way that looks like polyamory.
If you're excited by sexual pleasure and sexual politics, you've come to the right place.
I've been this radical queer agnostic theologian for a long time.
They think that Muslims don't have sex.
There is a very specific history of racism and anti-blackness in this country.
I don't know who started this myth that after people are sexually assaulted, they never want to fornicate again.
We really don't think that change happens without knowing what we're for and not just what we're against.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, this is just an unprecedented time that we are living in. And a lot of you have asked me to do this show. So I thought, okay, I think it's time to sort of address it head on. So here is the show on sex, love, intimacy, all of those things during the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm really fortunate to be joined by someone who's already been on the show a couple times, but who I consider to be, you know, the kind of go-to person if you want to troubleshoot or be super creative around sexuality. So to me, when I was doing this show and putting it together, I was like, oh, I know like the exact person that I want to talk to. It's Tina Horn. Oh, hi, Tina.
I'm smizing. What is the...
What does it mean to smile when we're not on video? I don't know. You're projecting a smile or something.
I have to say something so you can hear the smile in my voice.
Hear the smile. Yeah. So for folks who don't know, Tina is the host and producer of the long-running Kink podcast, Why Are People Into That? She also writes and reports on sexual subcultures and politics in places like Rolling Stone, Hazlitt, Glamour, Jezebel. She's the author of 2 nonfiction books. She's contributed to numerous anthologies. She lectures on sex work politics and queer BDSM identities at universities, at conferences, all over the country. And she's been in the headlines most recently because of her first creator-owned comic book series, SFSX, Safe Sex. What issue are we on now?
Issue 7, which is the completion of the protection arc, so the sort of the first season of the ongoing comic book series, came out like the week of March 13th.
Oh, so, wow. Right, so, under the wire.
Yes. You know, we're trying to eradicate the bullshit parts of capitalism, but the parts where you can buy books in society,
We're for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll be able to buy Safe Sex, the book. Paperback. Yeah. Sometime this year, I hope. Anyway, blah, how are you?
I kind of want to start out and say one of the reasons it didn't occur to me to even do a show on this topic is because I sort of almost immediately saw like 1,000 articles on sex during the pandemic.
I'm so with you.
You know what I mean? On social media, my feed was just like over and over and over again. And so I thought, okay, I think this has been addressed. But then several people said, no, I kind of want to hear what you think about what we should be doing. And so I want to just start by saying a couple things. First, I feel like We're All in This Together is a total bullshit marketing line. So folks, we're not all in this together. And by that, I mean, we have very different social locations and circumstances. Yeah. And so we are not all having the same experience. Yep. And that definitely is true of sex and intimacy, because some people are quarantined with a partner, a lover, a spouse, some people do have those folks in their life, but are not living with them and are not quarantined with them. Mm-hmm. And then some folks have multiple partners who they may or may not be quarantined with. So totally. We don't have a kind of one size fits all answer. And I don't want to make assumptions along the way that there's another person in your home or in your life. I just want to put that out there. And then the second thing I want to say is just that I think we also, one of the things that began to sort of grate on me about these articles was that it felt like a little bit of pressure, mm-hmm. which happens with sex a lot. And this is sort of like the dramatic sort of Cosmo thing, right? That Cosmo is pushing the G-spot so much that people who can't find their G-spot or don't like their G-spot touched are feeling sort of left out or like failures or broken.
Totally.
So the thing I want to say is people are really all over the board here. We have to remember that this is totally something we have never experienced in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of us. And so people may have increased sex drives, mm-hmm. decreased sex drives, want to be intimate with the person who you are in quarantine with, don't want to be intimate with the person you're in quarantine with. And then this can all change day by day, hour by hour. People are really, you know, reporting all over the board, having all these different feelings around sex. So I want to say first, please, please, please give yourself permission to be however you are right now.
Yeah, you said it. There's nothing else to say.
No, but there's nothing. So we're just done with the show. This is a real short episode.
I'm going to go for a run. Yeah,
you're going to go for a run.
With a mask. No,
with a mask, of course.
No. I did get a. I'm going to plug Leathercore.
You got a leather mask.
I got a leather quarantine mask.
You are such a hot bitch. I cannot take it.
So I cannot fucking take it. Especially when you're like, you know, working, you know, you're like going for a walk. You're like, okay, I got to get my heart rate up. And you're like huffing leather. It's pretty great.
I like that very much.
Yeah.
So I just don't want people to feel pressure that they have to like use this time in any particular way to do any particular thing with their sexuality. You know, I think that's important. I mean, what were your thoughts when you kind of saw coming across your feed like thousands of articles about sex during COVID-19?
I mean, I'm so with you, and I think that, you know, sex is a metaphor for everything else, and what you just said about how everybody is going through something different and there is so much social pressure and so much capitalist pressure to be a certain way, like whatever way you are is inadequate. You know, that shame and that sense of inadequacy is good for capitalism and, you know, and good for, the people who want to have power over us and mm-hmm. control our lives. And so, you know, and unfortunately, sometimes even the idea of, there's nothing they can't reach, you know, like even the idea of sexual liberation can be warped into, if you're not sexually liberated, then you are, then you're failing somehow. You're failing yourself, you're failing your partner, you're failing the revolution. And then there's this other thing that really chafes my hide of like this sort of snake oil approach to sexuality where people are like, if you just do X, Y, Z, then you're going to get, it's going to produce a result. And the truth is that at best, any sex advice is advice for exploration and sort of development. And by development, I mean like developing your own sensibility and style and approach to things, you know? And when there's a big dramatic shift, like the one that we're experiencing, and we're having the somatic experience of shock and also the somatic experience of things that we took for granted, like if we're introverts, extroverts, like what being around like large groups of people or traveling long distances or being able to see see far away from ourselves and all the things that we took for granted where we might have been sort of like either getting sexual energy or burning off sexual energy, you know, going dancing with people, you know, you might not think like that's a place where I am having an erotic experience.
Oh, but you are. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the other thing, right? This sort of expansiveness of erotic and intimate versus sex, like drilled down to this one thing. This whole thing really resonates with me because I agree that somehow what you're saying is that sex has become part of the productivity conversation. As in, we must be productive during this time. We must continue to work and produce. And sex gets added to the list of things you should be doing on quarantine. And what this makes me think of is, you know, I was making a list of like things you can do, blah, 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 when you're in quarantine. And obviously we are not living during the time of the Spanish flu. We are living during a time of extreme technology where we can connect in all sorts of ways. But I also was thinking, just because we have technology, like we have the capability and it works, doesn't mean it's the ideal vehicle for everyone.
That's totally true. And I think that also, I mean, that's another thing that I have experienced. I have experienced like a sense of, I've been surprised by how fatiguing all like Zoom calls are. And then I feel guilt or confusion that, you know, I'm connecting with people who, you know, in some cases, people who live in other states or very far away. And then sometimes, like, I just had a Zoom call this week with my neighbors whose home I can walk to in 5 minutes, right? But like, that need to connect with them, and these are platonic friendship connections, by the way, but like, I start to feel fatigued from them. And I don't know if that's just me because I associate those video calls with work, I mean, it's something that I've found as a sex worker and also, a sexuality coach, is that I like prefer to be in the room with people, and there are all of these like subtle things that are happening in the way that I am relating to somebody else that I like don't get from video calls. So I also just want to add that to the pile of things that it's okay to feel the way that you feel. And also this might be an opportunity to observe in yourself what does happen to my attention, to my body, to my desire, even if it's the desire to have a conversation, when I am using technology, as opposed to, you know, when your experience is usually to be in the room with people, whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's talking or fucking.
Yeah, no, this is what I've been thinking about a lot this week. So a lot of people I know have regular jobs. Weird, right? 9-to-5 office jobs. And so, and many of them have never worked remotely. So that means like no one in the organization has worked remotely.
Yeah.
So now they've switched to working remotely. The expectations are that everyone can make that transition seamlessly. I mean, the work experiences I've been hearing about from people are actually like horrific.
Yeah.
Because everyone is like super anxious. They're all getting like micromanage-y. And everyone's a little bit miserable, but I feel like no one sat down and said, wait, we've never done this before. Can we take a fucking breath or a minute?
And then so I feel like the idea, go ahead.
Yeah. So the idea that we're like, as sex educators, we're like, hey guys, this is a no brainer, right? This is how you have sex now. Just have sex on the Zoom, on the Skype, on the whatever. it's like just text each other now. But if you've never done that, if you've never sexually communicated with these technologies, it seems like a big leap to just say, hey, do it all online now.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, I also, tell me if you relate to this, like I sexualize everything. So like from this, like every new piece of technology that has emerged or become a part of our lives, the absolute very first thing that I do with it is figure out how to use
sex it
as a pornographic tool. Yeah.
Yes.
And so the idea of not of somebody not having the intuition to start a back and forth volley about telling a sexual story to one another over text or feeling self-conscious about showing their face on cam and we can get into the safety considerations, include privacy considerations, but sort of the more like creative synapses that are involved in that. Like I just, that's something I take to. Now I can't do basic math. I have to like get out my, speaking of things to use your phone for, I have to get out my phone to calculate a 20% tip. When I go to restaurants or, you know, nowadays, right. I just, you know, anybody.
Right now I think it's 50% or something. That's what I'm doing.
I for sure am like, I'm just giving all of my cash to anyone who is to essential workers right now, which mm-hmm. I highly recommend that people do and eroticize it if you can, tipping people. Just imagine that like, tipping is the sexiest thing that you can do. That's my advice.
Look at that. That's your number one tip for quarantine.
I mean, maybe tip. My number one tip is like eroticize tip. Everything. I don't know. Maybe that will get some folks into bad situations again. I've built a life for myself where I can eroticize everything.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So we're going to take a break. But I do want to, in the next segment, talk about some kind of how-tos, give people ideas mm-hmm. for what they might want to do to connect sexually.
I do have some of those. I know I was derisive about snake oil, but I have to.
No, of course. No, but I know what you mean about the snake oil, because it's like we can't, that's what I meant about putting this, just saying, oh, guys, you can't have sex with the person you love, just have sex with them on Zoom. It's not that simple. It's not that simple as a solution. So I want to suggest a bunch of different things so that people can maybe find something that they can then tweak that works for them, or they can find a medium that feels comfortable and feels right to them.
That they can adapt to.
Right. Exactly. So let's take a commercial break, hear from our fabulous sponsors who keep the lights on, folks. They do. Let's take a break. And when we come back, more about sex, love, and intimacy in the time of a global pandemic, and more tips besides just tipping from Tina Horn. Hey everyone, you know, the Pleasure Chest has been my longtime sponsor and a huge supporter of mine. It's a new world out there right now. The Pleasure Chest has temporarily closed its stores in New York, Chicago, and LA, and the website is offering limited items. At some point, there will be folks who listen to this episode many months in the future, and hopefully most sex businesses will be back up and running. Until then, PleasureChest.com has great sex education blogs and videos you can watch. And you can also follow them on social media at Pleasure Chest Stores to get the latest updates. Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are talking today with Tina Horn.
Hello.
About love and sex and intimacy in the time of COVID. Raymond, you had a story that you wanted to share with us.
I did. We were talking a little bit on the break about how just there are some, we're human, and sometimes we have moments of schadenfreude reading about other people's experiences. And that reminded me of, I think early on in shutdown, I saw someone on my Twitter had put out a call that were like, if you are in quarantine with someone in a relationship and you're really upset and you have, and you hate them and you have a lot of drama, please email me. I'm not a journalist. I'm just messy. Just appreciated that they were like, I want to hear your tales of quarantine. Whoa. But there are also, I have another writer that I follow on my timeline who put a different call out and then end up writing a story for, I think it was Vice, and it's called Six Stories of Housemates Who Hooked Up While Isolating at Home Together. And if you are one of those queer people who loves like stories of, oh no, we had to sleep in the same bed, and then that turns into sort of romance, this article had a lot of great sort of real life examples of that. And I'm looking at the article now, it's dated March 27th. And I think at the time I was like, oh, this is really sweet. But now a few weeks have passed and I feel a little bit like, can we check in on these couples? Because I want to know like what's really going on, with these sort of the U-Haul lesbians that really, that's part of all queer culture. That's not just lesbians. We all have.
Right. But no, that's a really good point. Like what are they all doing? They're now all stuck in their house and they're housemates. And what if there are like regrets or drama?
Yeah. I mean, sleeping with your housemate, it's kind of like sleeping with somebody that you work with. Which is kind of like incest, it's like there's all kinds of reasons not to do it, but the number one reason is like awkward family barbecues for the rest of your life, right? So now like your home is like an awkward family barbecue with the cousin that you fucked like every day. Do you see what I did there?
Oh yeah, I do.
Hopefully that also is a fantasy for people to enjoy as they're stuck in quarantine.
I know, just circling back to your advice of eroticize everything.
Everything. Oh my gosh. Including your messy drama.
I love an advice column, and I don't love reality TV, but I think I love advice columns for the same reason that a lot of people love reality TV. I want my messiness, and then I want to root around in the messiness, and then I want someone to come in and like bring order to the messiness. So that's sort of my, that's probably also my sexuality, to be honest.
Tina, we're going to make great housemates.
I know.
Because I'm all about order.
So you like to get messy too.
Oh yeah, no, I totally like mess, but then I love order. Love order.
Oh yeah, that's gonna work out.
People are like, oh, you're doing these organizational projects while you're under quarantine, and I'm like, you don't understand. It brings me joy.
I am. there was a pile of New Yorkers that now has I read them all and recycled them. And
nice.
I can't tell you how much. So I sexualize. You guys, whatever situation you're in, if you want to sexualize a pile of New Yorkers, read them, recycle them. That is, if that's the release that you feel, that's cool. That's
cool.
Fine.
Exactly. Well, let's talk.
This is that people were looking for.
No, this is good about New Yorker. Let's talk about words. Okay.
Oh, because yeah, I think love them.
One of the simplest ways, and we don't need to think about like creating images or any of that, but one of the simplest ways people can communicate is with words. You are the queen of this. You wrote a whole book on it, sexting.
It's called sexting.
But my question is, what should people do if they've never sexted before and now they want it to be one of the ways that they communicate?
I mean, I think that my first piece of advice is eroticize everything. I've decided that that's my theme of today.
Okay.
And in this specific case, the advice that I want to give to people is chances are you're having some kind of problem right now. some kind of emotional issue, some kind of anxiety, some place that your anxiety or depression is aligning on, whether it's the dishes or some perceived inadequacy, right? So whatever is stressing you out, my advice is be creative. Think about how you can transform that stressful thing that you're focused on, maybe to the point of obsession right now. How do you turn that into a sex game? How do you eroticize that? So for example, someone recently asked me for advice about an issue that they were having before quarantine and that now is just really in their face, which is that they come like 10 times as often as their partner does. And this is an issue that people of all genders and all bodies and all genitals and all coming styles have. I hear this all the time, right? And, you know, obviously it's that sort of feedback loop where you want to give your partner pleasure, and but maybe your partner's like, I'm fine with the amount that I come, but you're like, but I'm not fine with it because I want to feel pleasure from your pleasure, but then they feel bad, you know. So anyway, people are probably all familiar with this. So my dominatrix brain is like, well, you should just, and by the way, my friend specifically was like, making someone come makes me feel powerful. And I was like, great. Okay. So like what, you know, this is another piece of advice is like, what is the role of power in this issue? How can you map the power in the situation and do some journaling about it, do some talking about it with your friends? That's another piece of advice is talk about sex with your friends that you don't have sex with. There's no better time than now to do that. But anyway,
ooh, that's a great idea. Okay.
But my advice to my friend was, like, well, if you feel powerful when they come, then you should just tell them that you want to be in control of their orgasms. And then I just started like spewing like sex to my friend. You know, this was obviously like something that she was open to, of like, here are all of the things that come to my mind when I think of orgasm control, like teasing someone and telling them that they are not, you know, teasing someone with the thing that they love the most and then telling them that they are not allowed to come for 3 days, you know, like putting them in chastity, telling them to ask permission, emphasizing how backed up they are and how heavy their genitals must feel with all of that cum backed up, or that they're just a cum factory for your pleasure, that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So like, figuring out transforming the things that are stressing you out into fun sex is a really good project for right now, I think.
I love that. I love that idea. And the other thing I wanted to say too about words is, and technology is, if writing is not your thing,
uh-huh,
or if writing stresses you out, or if writing is your job and then you don't want to write, you can also do these little, you know, voice memos on your phone.
Voice memos, I think, are the new frontier of sexting. I think they've been underappreciated for a while. And I think that either dirty talking into your voice memos or just pressing record, especially it, like, for, I advise people who feel self-conscious about sexting to open up their, you know, some kind of voice recording device, whether it's the voice memo app in your phone or whatever, and set it on the bedside table or on the bed and press play and just do your best to try to like forget that it's there, and just have it recording you orally, you know, recording the audio while you masturbate. And
okay, you just stole my thunder on this. I have it written in my notes, and I'm going to take a photograph of this because I have done this with a partner.
We're just simpatico, Tristan.
I've recorded myself jerking off, and it's so hot. And I mean, they've like kept it on their phone.
I like listening back to myself.
Yeah,
personally.
Yeah. No, I love this idea. And then I want to take it like two steps back, which is, so say you are not you're not like finessed at dirty talk, and that this idea that we just gave you feels way over your head. Also, you can use someone else's words. Like, what totally. About a little snippet of a story that you read online or that you read in an erotica book? You can just read a little story, read a little scene into the voice memo.
That is very good advice, because I think that people get self-conscious or they tense up or they freeze up. This is like the number one thing that people come to me when, you know, when I teach dirty talk workshops or when I'm doing one-on-one coaching, is that they're like, well, I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, you need to take some improv classes, obviously, because it's all locked away in there. You know, right. You just like people get stage fright. Right. And the issue, I think, is that people conflate their stage fright or performance anxiety with the idea that there's like nothing there to draw from. Like they think like, mm-hmm. Oh, I had a moment. Like, imagine if you walk on stage to give a lecture and you have anxiety and you freeze up and you can't get anything out or you choke and you can't get a song out. And then you conflate that with like, you have nothing in your brain. Like, that's not true. It's obviously there, which is why a lot of people who do public speaking bring notes with them, right? So you can mm-hmm. read something that somebody else has, or you can read something that you wrote. Like, you can write a dirty story or just write a list of words that you find sexy. Mm. And you know, those could be words that you know that you like to describe your body, words that you know that you like to describe other people's bodies, maybe the body of the particular partner or partners that you are sexting with. You can write down sexy action words, verbs. You can write down sexy adjectives, descriptive words, you know, write down, you know, and then maybe you start to get to the point where you're writing down sexy phrases or sentences or scenarios, you know. It's kind of like learning a different language, but it's sort of more like learning how to like play music. Some people have like a better intuition for it than others, but that doesn't mean that like,
you can't learn it.
Have the capacity to learn it. And then, you know, to extend the music metaphor a little bit, like there are so many different styles and tastes of music. You don't have to, just because you're learning this new language of music doesn't mean that you have to do it the way that anybody else does it. And you might be surprised at what styles emerge when you are playing music with different people.
Right. Right. Okay. So let's say we want to bring an image into it. We're both former pornographers. Mm. So we have a lot of ideas about this, but I think the first thing that people think of is,
genitals.
I think the first thing people think of is, if I'm naked, where is that image going to go?
Oh, right? So you're talking about like sending nudes.
Sending nudes or doing a little striptease or mutual masturbation over the internet with images. Like how, I think the first issue, like you said at the top about safety, is like safety and privacy, right?
Totally.
I just made a little porn movie of myself and now that could be anywhere.
So it's a big complicated subject, and there are really good resources about it online. But one really important one that I want to recommend right now is, if you don't already use an app that has end-to-end encryption, which sounds like a big fancy tech word, but is actually quite simple and commonplace. So Signal is a really great texting app that has end-to-end encryption, which essentially just means that it's harder, not impossible, just like any sexuality, you know, you're always making a risk or assessment. It's a more privacy friendly form of sexting. And if you feel secure in yourself that you're mode of communication is secure, you're more likely to feel safe letting go in the mm-hmm. way that you want to mm-hmm. and connecting with people in the way that you want to.
And then what do you think of what I'm calling temporary? In other words, it doesn't get saved anywhere. What about like Snapchat and FaceTime?
I mean, what about how to feel safe with them?
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like you could send a little sexy something, something to someone in Snapchat and that's safer than sending like an actual JPEG of your nude self over, you know, iMessage?
I mean, you know, I don't mean to be evasive, but I think that we need to take a bigger view of this and ask ourselves, what do we mean when we say safe? And I think that if, you know, these are concerns that people are having, that it's a really important thing to interrogate, like, what are we scared of? And is that fear well-founded? And, you know, it's similar to other forms of safe sex. Like if we are averse to the idea of, you know, having sex without barriers with someone because we are fearing contracting, you know, speaking of viruses, that we're fearing contracting HIV or other STIs, you know, actually asking ourselves, like, what is the scientific risk factor here? And do I just associate barrier-free sex with sex that is going to result in death? Or will this barrier-free sex with this particular individual actually result in me contracting a virus? So, you know, going back to sexting, like, if you use Snapchat, like the idea behind Snapchat is that the videos are supposed to disappear, but people can take screenshots. People can also take pictures with other devices of a screen, you know, like there, unfortunately, like are people out there who either are saving these images for like just because they want to be able to access them and then they're getting backed up to the cloud and then they're out there. Or there are people who have malicious intent. You know, the most extreme version would be, you know, like posting it somewhere online without your consent. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's all different kinds of scenarios that people are scared of. And I think that people go straight to the fear without actually considering like, well, what are the consequences that I am scared of? And this is part of the reason that one of the things that I always advise is if you are dealing with fear about the consequences of somebody seeing a sexy picture of you that, you know, that you didn't intend to see a sexy picture of you, like, what are you doing to contribute to a world in which we are not slut shaming people on a social level or an institutional level for exchanging sexual or nude pictures of themselves with other consenting adults?
I am 100% with you on this, but I think the average person believes the consequences are big, you know, and means, you know, being ostracized from their community, losing their job, losing, you know, the rights to see their children. I mean, all sorts of things can happen and have happened and we've seen happen when some little erotic dalliance is taped and then released. So I'm here for you, like theoretically, but I also feel like people, where we are now, there are real consequences for people if this stuff gets like leaked or hacked or whatever.
And if I can give a little plug, there is a really awesome organization called Hacking Hustling that has a website, hackinghustling.com, that is a really great hub of people who are doing a lot of sex work activism and tech freedom activism around, you know, trying to create a world, again, both socially and institutionally, where first of all, we have more freedom for privacy of things like end-to-end encryption, but also that we are not, that the consequences of such images existing, like a sexual or nude image of you, does not mean that you will, that someone has grounds to fire you, that someone has grounds to take custody of your kids. You know, like these are the concrete things that people there is a reason to be scared of them. Like it is true that people can be slut shamed or whore shamed out of the things that they should have rights to. So Hacking Hustling is a really great resource for actually educating yourself about that. And who are the people who are, you know, on the grassroots level, really sort of fighting for our freedom to sexually communicate as adults without those consequences.
Right. Okay. We are going to take another commercial break. I have so many questions. We've got more to cover, people. So listen to the commercial, come back in just a minute or so, and we're going to keep going with Tina Horn. I hope you all know by now that lube makes all kinds of sex better, but not all silicone lubes are created equal. You want to make sure you use one with the highest quality body-safe ingredients. UberLube is a luxurious, high-grade silicone lubricant that's flavorless, unscented, and made from clean, body-friendly ingredients. It's just silicone with a little vitamin E. And that vitamin E leaves a velvety finish that actually moisturizes your skin. There are no additives like parabens or preservatives or petrochemicals. Nope. It's great for vaginal, oral, anal, manual. If you want to rub it or grind it or penetrate it, UberLube is for you. UberLube lets skin feel skin. It enhances touch, not overpowers it. It adds a thin layer that leads to just the right amount of slip while allowing for skin-to-skin sensations. Right now, they're offering Sex Out Loud listeners a special offer, 10% off and free shipping when you use my code, Tristan, at uberlube.com. That's 10% off and free shipping. Just use code Tristan at uberlube, UberLube.com. UberLube lets you feel what you want to feel. Hey everyone, it's Tristan. As Instagram deletes porn star accounts, YouTube and Facebook censor content, dating apps are full of bots, it's becoming more and more difficult for people to connect, especially intimately online. MyGirlFund.com allows members to form virtual relationships with sexy, amazing women. On MyGirlFund.com, you can meet, message, share photos and videos, and cam with women in private. If you know me, you know that two of my passions are people experiencing pleasure in diverse, shame-free ways, and folks getting paid fairly for their labor. It's really difficult for women to get paid for virtual adult work without risking personal exposure. Many women are willing to do dirty chat or share nude content for money, but safe and discreet platforms are rare. MyGirlFund allows its female members to control their exposure. They connect with who they want to connect with, control how they want to interact, and decide what they charge for those interactions. To support people who are trying to make ends meet from home right now, they're giving a $50 bonus to all women who sign up during the month of April and reach $500 in contributions. You can do that at MyGirlFund.com/Tristan. MyGirlFund has been around since 2009, providing space for people to have the intimate interactions that they want. Sign up at MyGirlFund.com/Tristan and get ready to meet and make connections with women in a safe, private adult community. Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are talking today about sex, love, and intimacy in the time of COVID-19. And I've got with me, in addition to Raymond Johnson, my producer and the everyman, I've got Tina Horn, who has written a bunch of books, but one that may be of special interest to you right now is actually called Sexting. We can still buy books and they can ship them to your house and you can read them. So that's exciting.
Yes.
It's one of the things we can still do. So check out Sexting. And okay, so before the break, we were talking about kind of like different platforms for having internet sex or safe sex or cyber sex. Now, recently, I think as recently as this week, Zoom has come out and said, we heard people are having sex. First of all, it was like 6 weeks ago when someone said, oh my God, queer people are having orgies on Zoom. And I literally just wanted to reply to that with the word, duh. I mean, duh, duh, duh. Like that's it. Like that's that's news. of course, queer people are having orgies and other people as well are having orgies on Zoom. I mean, we know how to do it. That's all I have to say. But so Zoom now says they're going to use bots and other technology to shut down people being naked or sexual on their platform. So first I want to say, everyone, like, do it now because Zoom may be shutting it down soon, right? So it's like, this is your time. So do it now. I'm not saying, you know, violate the terms of service. I would never say that on the air. But for now, there are things like Skype and Zoom where you can actually have some sexy time. What are your thoughts about video sexy time?
Well, I mean, one thought that comes to mind is, first I'll say, love it. I endorse it. I think it's great. And one thing that comes to mind is just thinking about how dystopia of safe sex, my comic book, is already here, and the ways that people are policing one another, and that, you know, bots are like, it's not appropriate. Well, the bots aren't saying this. The people who create the terms of service are like, don't use our platform to connect sexually because that is associated with sexually transgressive behavior, pervy behavior like voyeurism and exhibitionism. You know, you can't procreate through video chat, which yeah, is yeah. one of its key appeals to me. You know, video chatting is safer sex in the sense that no one yet has been knocked up or contracted a virus of any kind while jerking off together using video chat. But yeah, the idea that then they would be sending these little perv bots to be like, that looks like a naked body, and also like, what are they interpreting as sexual? Can we use the heteronormative imagination against itself, where we're doing sexual things that bots are not programmed to recognize as sexual? Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, another thing that comes to mind with your joke that's not a joke about how, of course, queers are having orgies on Zoom, you know, it makes sense to me that queers are more attuned to the different ways that we can express ourselves sexually, especially kinky queers are just more attuned to how, you know, mutual masturbation or like putting on shows for one another,
or just watching or showing up and just being a voyeur of all of it.
Voyeurism is participation. I always say that.
Absolutely.
And we were just talking about how there are sex workers who are doing virtual strip clubs, and you know, there's all kinds of wonderful sexual entertainment, the kind that you can pay for and the kind that you're, you know, that is a bunch of you know, folks getting together in a non-commercial realm to enjoy that space together. And you know, it just kind of makes sense to me that folks that are already sort of used to not accepting the default programming of what sex is and what it has to be in order to be satisfying or in order to count as sex would take to these forums, and that there could potentially be joy and pleasure and human connection, as well as creativity and education and all of the other things that sexuality can be about that are happening on these platforms. And the fact that it is getting censored, it's just like a foregone conclusion for people that it would be inappropriate to use technology for these, you know, pornographic purposes is just so backwards. And it's something that, you know, I mean, I fight against in my fiction and my nonfiction mm-hmm, all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, this also gets to such an important point, Tina, which is now more than ever, people may want to think about expanding their definitions of sex, of pleasure, of intimacy.
Totally.
Right? Now could be a good opportunity to say, I would like to connect with the person who I'm in quarantine with, mm-hmm. but I'm not up for what we usually do when we say we have sex. Totally. So these ideas of connecting in other ways. I talked about this briefly with Raymond. Raymond, are you there?
I am. In fact, Tristan, I was thinking about how we were talking in the first segment, or Tina was talking about that sort of feeling of being drained by Zoom mm-hmm. and those video calls. And I've been thinking about this idea that a lot of times with these video calls, where our brain is connecting with people, we're seeing photos, we're laughing, we're sharing stories. There is that mental connection, but we don't have that sort of physical co-regulatory, like, biological thing. And so after the call, it's almost like this weird kind of, you know, our bodies are feeling like I didn't get nurtured. Our brains got nurtured, but our bodies didn't get nurtured.
And it's not even just about like physically touching skin to skin. It's also like the presence of people in
exactly.
the room.
Exactly. And all of the scent that, you know, mm-hmm.
you know, some of yeah. us are very attuned to smell. Some of us are very attuned to the difference that sound makes, especially a human voice in a room versus coming through your tinny laptop speakers.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think about like, what are ways that we can also bring different ways of physical connection to the person that we're maybe quarantined with or with ourselves? It's not the same. I know it feels really silly to be doing things like putting your arms around yourself as if you're hugging yourself, but physically speaking, it does do things. Like if you mm-hmm. do, you know, if you're sort yeah. of slow dancing with yourself or holding, you know, but that's the other piece too with that I'm trying to incorporate with my, you know, wonderful person that I'm partnered with, is that I sort of talk about like, let's start doing like a kitchen slow dance a day, because
then
you have like 5 minutes where we're slowing down our breath, where our bodies are in contact, where we're sharing intimacy and we're sharing a connection, but there's not the expectation. There's not the pressure of making it more. You can have a slow dance that feels sad. You can have a slow dance that feels sexy. You can have a slow dance that feels silly. Like you can bring all the different emotions to it, but you're still having that physical touch, the physical intimacy, things like that, which are, I think, really important. And I think the other thing I was saying to you, Tristan, was that like, if you've always been meaning to talk about scheduling sex, like now is a good time to really experiment with that,
right?
Because we need some structure and we need some boundaries. Like our schedules are just so open and we have so much time, and sort of, and some people are maybe dealing with too much connectivity, you know, or sorry, that's a fine way of saying it, but you know what I'm saying? So like, if you actually sort of say like, here's the 1 hour a week where we have to really just make an effort to push everything out, and we're just going to be in the bedroom alone and take off our clothes and see what happens. And maybe you like don't have sex either, but I still think it's going to start to kind of shift your brain and shift your thinking into what physical intimacy, what erotic intimacy, what togetherness can.
Can I say, I actually think that what you were saying a second ago, Raymond, is actually true, that I have had the feeling in the past few weeks that it's less like, because there are a lot of people that I've been talking to. I've been like talking to friends and family and even having work meetings like more, and I'm used to working from home, but I've been having them more than usual. And sometimes it actually feels like all of a sudden everybody is in my house, and like my house is not a place that I go back. Like outside is social time, and in my house is time with myself and the person that I live with and the like people that I've specifically like decided like tonight is a night that I feel like being social in my home. So I totally agree actually that like, just like, you know, sometimes people say, you know, have a room there where you work and a room where you rest, or, you know, and that's extra hard for those of us who live in New York City and have a room that is both like a dining room and a TV room and a gym and and an entryway, mudroom coat closet. Like, you know, that's hard, but like difficult, but using our imaginations to try to create.
Right. And different types spaces. Of boundaries. Like there's physical boundaries, but I think having time boundaries and schedule boundaries and mental boundaries can help when you do have a lack of space or a lack of alone time or things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is a really important thing to talk about, which is that part of what's happening in work and life is that the boundaries have gotten real fucking fuzzy. Right? Yeah. It's like now your living room is your office.
Yeah.
And it's also your kids' school.
Yeah.
And it's also the place where you try to sort of relax and, you know, watch Netflix. And it's also the place where you're caring for another family member who's also quarantined with you. I mean, and so the idea of putting into place some structure and some boundaries around time that is just set aside for connection and intimacy, and maybe space that is just set aside for that, I think it's really important. And I think we're not good at it. Mm. I think that a lot of people have been reporting, for example, that now that they're working from home, they're getting emails and even phone calls and texts from coworkers at off hours, like Saturday at 3 p.m.
Oh my God. I mean, welcome to freelance life.
Well, yeah, everybody. Of course. I mean, yeah, Tina and I, and Raymond too, like we're used to that, but people who work a 9-to-5 job and really want to put that down afterwards and have their weekend, which is the structure a lot of people who have 9-to-5 jobs have, feel like being invaded. See what I pictured when you said that, Tina, was like, there are people in my house who I didn't invite into my house and I actually don't want them here.
And it's like I technically invited them in, but they just like showed up and I was kind of like, I guess I'm going to make you tea. Also, when are you leaving? You know, this leads me to another piece of advice, which is that people should totally start masturbating like freelancers, or masturbate like me, a freelancer, which is, you know, take a break from work. Like, freelancing is hard, and it's hard to have boundaries, and it's, you know, really hard to send another email saying, did you get my invoice? But mm-hmm. especially now. But you know, you've got to find the perks when you can. And for me, one of the biggest perks of working from home and being a freelancer is that as my own boss, I can tell myself at any point, time for a jerk off break. And, you know, going into the other room, which is, you know, a few feet from my desk, and, you know, maybe putting on headphones and listening to music, or maybe watching porn that I, you know, have a login for because I pay for it. You know, or reading erotica or doing something that makes me feel sexy, and then like masturbating and flooding my body with endorphins. And also, you know, you're essentially, when you're masturbating, you're like tricking yourself into like lying down and maybe closing your eyes, or maybe just like shutting off the rest of the world and actually kind of being in like an ultra focused fugue state. Like, I often say that like when I go to acupuncture, I'm like paying for acupuncture, but I'm also paying for like this to have sort of someone like dom me and tell me just like lie down and be quiet for an hour. And so, you know, like masturbation is like that too. And, you know, whether or not you're actually feeling super horny in that moment, like thinking of masturbation as part of your self-care routine, even sort of thinking of it in the same way that you think about working out, where you're just like, I'm gonna do this, like just totally scientifically flood my body with endorphins, take a break, not stare at a work screen. So I highly recommend doing that. That is the key to my success, and look at me.
Oh, Tina Horn.
And I think that it's really, and like, if I can just add one more thing, whoever you live with, now you may live with people that it is appropriate for you to talk about your masturbation routine with, like say a partner, and you may live with people that it's not appropriate to talk to them about, but having language around, like around privacy, like language that is connected to, you know, and unfortunately, I think we all have this like fear of rejection, or like fear of like, if you want private time or solo time or alone time, that it's like, that you're saying, I don't want to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that learning how to communicate with the people that you live with, saying that you want privacy is about like, I want this for me. I want to spend time by myself. And whether that means like putting on headphones and listening to music or listening to a podcast while you do a chore, and feeling like you can be alone together and have that like parallel play within your space is so important. And if you do have a partner that you live with, now is the time to emphasize that masturbation is solo play, self-love, and that you have a right to do it. And like whether you're comfortable doing it while your partner is in the room, or maybe participating by talking dirty or just holding you or letting you smell them or like smothering you with their tits or ass or feet or whatever is your favorite part of their body. You know, like even like eroticizing, like being ignored while your partner like reads a book in bed next to you while you masturbate, or even just being able to say like, I'm going to masturbate right now because that's the thing that's going to help me sleep. Or I need to masturbate right now because I'm taking my signature Tina Horn work break so that I can come back and focus for the rest of the afternoon. Like being able to assert that and communicate that, like I really, really, really want to tell people like, you have the right to masturbate and it is a beautiful thing, and you have the right to communicate to your partner that you, whether you generally say, I need some private time, or whether you can actually like more emphasize or accentuate the eroticism of it and say to your partner, like, it's time for me to have a me party, or it's time for me to jerk off right now. Like, and not have it be like, to like, have it be like something that is like an activity unto itself and something beautiful unto itself. That's not like a consolation prize or a rejection or anything like that. Like now is a really good time to work on that, because that will help you in non-quarantine crisis life.
Absolutely. And I think, yes, I think that someone could fall into the trap of, hey, honey, I'm going to go in the other room and masturbate. And their partner saying, well, why? I'm here. Let's just have sex.
Yeah, but especially if people are feeling anxiety or depression that is affecting their libido, like you might want to get off, you know, it might like sometimes it's a sense of control. Sometimes it's a sense of comfort. Sometimes it's a sense of like, I want to have sex with the person I've been having sex with longer than anybody else, which is myself. You know, and maybe you don't like, it's okay to carve out time where you're not thinking about anybody else's pleasure or even attention on you, and just like totally be alone. And it's a two-way street or three-way street, you know, whatever your living situation is, like to encourage and emphasize that it's okay. And like, if your partner says, I'm going to go in the other room and masturbate, just be like, okay, you're so hot. I can't wait to smell you later.
No, I love this. I love this idea. And I think it was a really good point that if you don't have a lot of separate space, or you don't have a lot of space, period, putting on headphones to kind of like get into your own world or bubble.
Yeah.
I like that idea a lot. For me, wearing headphones to listen to music or whatever really does help me kind of like concentrate more and feel that I'm not hearing the sort of sounds of my partner working or other things going on in the house. So I love the idea of, if you don't have separate spaces, of headphones. And these are just in general, Tina, all really good ideas. And Raymond, all really good ideas. We're out of time.
Oh man.
Okay. You can find Tina on the interwebs at tinahorn.net.
Mm-hmm.
Also, your podcast is available where people get podcasts. Mm-hmm. It's called Why Are People Into That? Mm-hmm. I recommend the episode I was on. No, butt all the plugs. Episodes are really good. Butt plugs. Why Are People Into Butt Plugs? Tina's on Twitter and Instagram at Tina Horns Ass. So Tina Horn Sass is also another way to read it, but it's Tina Horns Ass without the apostrophe. Thanks so much for spending. This is my first morning, early morning podcast that I've recorded.
I'm very impressed.
So thanks for being my reason to get out of bed and my first part of my day, which has been really, really good. It sets a good tone.
Thanks for getting messy and then bringing order back to things with me.
Okay, next week coming up, we are going to do a show that we said we were doing this week, but now it's going to be next week, which is I'm going to talk with Raymond about my Me Too experience in a sex positive space. It's a different show for me because I'm going to be very personal and vulnerable and I'm a little terrified, but I hope you'll take a listen. So until next time, you can catch me on social media across all platforms at Tristan Terramino. And you can figure out where you want to listen to the show, sexoutloudradio.com. Since we have become independent, we really, really, really need your support. And so if you are a regular listener who hasn't yet subscribed, I would love it if you could subscribe to show your solidarity and your support. And it would really help us kind of rebuild our audience after leaving one platform and going to another. So until next time, folks, take some time to talk about sex out loud.